Nothing like starting off a brand new show that's supposed to be exciting and wacky with news of death that kind of hits us hard. Norm MacDonald, we just found out, passed away, Matt. And I saw that trending on Twitter. I saw Norm dies, and I was thinking Norm from Cheers? Oh, makes sense, but no, Norm MacDonald.
Wait, why did you decide that Norm from Cheers? Like, well, first of all, you're talking about George Wendt as the actor, right?
I know, but
They would probably use his real name.
Nah, they might.
Hey,
they
by the way, not. There's no intro for this show?
I'm not the producer, so I don't know what to say.
You're going to do that to Spenny?
How dare you, man? You guys have not asked me to do anything like that.
Throw him under the bus right away.
All right, we're asking now. Spenny, when you get a chance.
Yeah, sure.
Something for the people. Yeah, the news is coming in right now that Norm MacDonald passed. I will say that this. Norm MacDonald, one of the most fun guests that come in and out of this building over the years.
Absolutely.
Pretty regularly. He would do shows at Cap City. RIP. But I believe the Cap City is going to be rebirthed like a phoenix from the flame very soon. But yeah, Norm MacDonald was here several times, and every time was, I'm going to say,
something different.
Peace and love, peace and love. I loved having Norm MacDonald in here. I got to interview him a couple times. But yeah, you did not know what you were going to get. He was a guest who absolutely kept you on your toes.
Yeah.
You had a run-in, like not a run-in, but you had an event with him here, right?
Yeah, well, not even really an event, just he was on doing kind of the radio tour, talking with everyone, and all the early shows end about 10 o'clock, and then usually Cap City Comedy Club provides a ride home, and the comedians go back to their hotel. Well, Norm MacDonald didn't do that. He walked around the building and would just kind of go up to people's desks, and they were sitting there working and would turn around and be like, oh, you're the guy from, you're Norm MacDonald. Yep. And he hung out at the radio station's offices for about an hour, literally just walking around the building and going up to people. Some people didn't know who the hell he was. Others were kind of starstruck, but he just spent his afternoon hanging out with us, talking to random people. You know, a lot of folks would take pictures with him and stuff like that. But again, others that had no idea who he was like, who's, I mean, he was like upstairs in the sales offices where people who don't even know what's going on downstairs or on air are just like, who is this guy, a manager?
The first thing I saw about him, we have a mutual friend named Carissa McAtee. She was a producer on another show here in the building, and she just wrote, what a super nice guy. Maybe a little too nice. I remember he stayed at my desk for quite a while after the show, but definitely one of the nicer guys. He was sort of like, you know, the last time I interviewed Norm MacDonald, he was on the same day as Jonah Hill. And somehow they'd both gotten scheduled at similar times, but there was supposed to be like a 30-minute break in between the book. But Norm wasn't leaving the show that he was on. He just decided he was going to hang all morning. And, you know, and people usually show up, you know, somebody at that level too, usually is going to show up, you know, with, I don't know, like handlers or something like that. And there was nobody. He just showed up by himself. He was hanging, you know, with like, I think he had like a breakfast biscuit or something and was just going to party. So then we were like, well, hey, man, you're scheduled to be across the hall or whatever. And he was like, not sure about that. Like, I don't think he wanted to leave. And he was like, wait, Jonah Hill's coming in. I love that guy. But then Jonah Hill came in with all of his
entourage, you know, the PR people, the driver, the
exactly. He was Hollywood. He wasn't being a diva or anything. He just, you know, he was at that point in his career where he had all these people. But Norm MacDonald could not stop calling Jonah Hill Jonas Hill.
And which he had to have been doing on purpose, because that's very Norm MacDonald.
It was not making Jonah Hill happy.
Okay.
Now, Jonah was on his way up.
Yes.
You know what I mean? He was not yet the superstar he is now, but he certainly was not just the super bad kid. I mean, he had some star power.
Yeah.
He had enough power that he had a driver and he had a PR agent here and all that stuff. And so we went to one of the breaks and the PR person even just said, I, you know, just wanted to correct you all. It's Jonah Hill. And we were like, yeah, we're not.
We know.
Right.
We're professionals.
It's Norm MacDonald, but I'm not going to keep correcting Norm MacDonald. Norm MacDonald is also a celebrity. That's an inside Hollywood fight. That's Hollywood on Hollywood crime.
That's not us radio guys.
Right.
Like, don't blame us for this.
And he did say, hey, I'm a huge fan of yours. He's like, and it's like, I'm not even trying to be rude. Like, you can call me whatever you want to, but it is Jonah. And he goes, Jonah. Okay. Jonah, right? Jonah. Okay.
So
I got it.
So off air.
Off air.
Okay.
We come back in. Literally literally come back in and we're just like, 9:17, sitting here with Norm MacDonald and Jonah Hill. And Norm MacDonald goes, yeah, Jonas, love Jonas Hill, great guy. And Jonas, I just got so pissed. He started to get, you could see him getting red in the face. And then he just said something about, you know, well, I don't remember, but he clearly was angry about it.
Yeah.
And Norm's like, wait, why are you, hey, Jonas, where are you going? Because Jonas got up to leave.
And
Jonas, wait. Yeah, and you couldn't even tell, is Norm being serious or is he actually just messing up? And, you know, someone came down and like, hey, somebody called and said somebody is drunk on air. And we're like, no, it's just Norm
it's
being
just Norm.
Norm
MacDonald doing his thing. We're going to come back in a little bit and talk about some of our more of our favorite celebrity memories.
Yeah, a lot going on today, too. Shout out, it's Ham Day. Big reminder that it is Ham Day and keep everybody, you know.
Yeah.
Keep attention to that. We'll talk about that a little bit more, and we have some good stories for you today.
Absolutely.
101X. Here's more Matt and CJ.
It's the all-new Matt and CJ, celebrating with all you all out there. Also celebrating a Ham Day. Special shout-out to Ham and everyone who works over there. We'll have more info for you on Ham Day coming up all throughout the show, and doing our best to get you, you know, through the workday, on to 5, into the car, home, hopefully. Start the show off on a little bit of a bummer.
Big bummer.
Someone we look on wall, really, I think. Norm MacDonald, a fantastic comedian. Comedian that's really hard to hate. He's not a guy that got a lot of, you know, grief, because I think he made some people uncomfortable.
Yeah.
He was certainly unique and weird. But he was not a guy that I heard people sitting around going, man, I hate that guy.
No, everything I've heard of people just absolutely love him.
It's hard to do.
Like,
it's hard to be
underrated.
Loved by lots of people.
Yeah.
Now, you know what? Part of it may have helped is that he was underrated.
Yeah.
And I think when you get overexposed, sometimes you get hate that you don't deserve, that because people forget about your talent.
Yeah.
Or it's not even jealousy. Just sometimes, hey, I need a break from you. You're up in my grill all the time.
Yeah.
And but he's one of those dudes that I think, you know, I can remember the day that I found out that Phil Hartman, do you remember Phil Hartman?
Yes.
From so many Simpsons episodes,
yep.
News radio when I was a little kid.
I mean,
the Saturday Night Live.
SNL growing up for me, watching him on Simpsons and SNL, like he was the staple. He was the man that was in almost every skit. He was the utility player. He was the voiceover guy. Absolutely wonderful.
I remember that one shook me, and that's a long time ago now.
Yeah.
That's 20, well, it's probably 22, 23 years ago.
The manner of his death.
Well, yeah, let's not mention that. Yeah, he was murdered by his wife, which is a horrible way to go. Actually, all ways to go, none of them are good.
Bad.
None of them are good, I don't think, if you're not ready to go. But I you know, Phil Hartman was one that really kind of got me in the gut. You know, it's I think it's hard because it's comics by nature can be polarizing, stand-up comics, mm-hmm. right? And or comedians, just let's say we broaden it out. But are there other comedians that where their deaths kind of shook you?
I know this is going to sound really cliche, but
oh,
I was
Bob Hope. I understand. Bob Hope really crushed
God,
a lot of
my
us.
My grandma cried when
I
Bob
bet
Hope
she
died.
Did. I bet she did.
Inconsolable. Mitch Hedberg was one that was kind of weird because I had just gotten like into him very much,
and then
suddenly he was gone, and it's like, oh, I'll never get to see this guy perform live. All I have is, you know, clips and stuff from the past. So that kind of bothered me. And then Greg
Giraldo,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was kind of weird because he had just been at the radio station within less than a year before passing.
Mm-hmm.
And also one of those comics that I had just gotten into and was a fan of, and then they passed away, and it was just like, oh, that sucks.
I've been pretty lucky because I've been a stand-up comic for 25 years, something like that. I mean, a long time. And you get to work with a lot of people, and so sometimes you know who they are on stage, and sometimes you know who they are off stage.
Yeah.
Greg's was a guy, I didn't get to work with him a lot, maybe three times like that. Really nice dude. Just really nice dude. And so, but wasn't super close to him. But I remember when I heard that one, I was a little shook by it, you know? I just thought, oh, well, I felt like that guy was on the way up.
Yeah.
You know, now
he was doing the roasts a lot.
I think he
was getting more stuff on TV.
He was certainly up there.
Mm-hmm.
But I felt like, oh, he's going to break big time, big time, big time.
You know, that, sorry to interrupt, that makes me think of Patrice O'Neill as well.
Great guest in this building quite a few times. I interviewed Patrice maybe three times, never got more phone calls for a guest than I got for Patrice, with people just screaming, get that guy off the radio, that pig, that sexist, that jerk. And he was a fun guy to talk to. He had didn't care what you thought about him. Made you think. I'm not saying I agree with everything that he had to say, but I don't believe that you have to agree with everything that somebody says. He was an enjoyable
interview.
Do you?
Yeah, completely.
And then this is somebody who's not a celebrity, and I think got cheated out of a little bit of celebrity, but there is a comic locally here, LaShonda Lester,
yes,
who literally about 2 days before she was to film her Comedy Central special, where the whole world would have known her a lot better, passed away pretty unexpectedly in kidney failure. And that was just shocking because she was a
she was
really,
like the godmother of Austin comedy.
She was a really awesome person. Well, the thing, too, is that when someone is right there where you know, like, hey, once this gets out, once this special gets out,
you're going to blow up.
This person's going to blow up. People are going to go crazy for this act. And if you feel like, oh, the universe cheated you a little bit out of what you were supposed to have there anyway. Anyway, it's hard to be a comic to get a lot of people to like you, which is why I expect a lot of people to hate us on this show.
Yeah.
We're not comedians today. Well, so far we've talked about death for half an hour.
Nonstop. More coming up.
101X, Matt and CJ.
We're going to talk sex.
Are we?
I guess so. I just made this sound effect for you.
I'll listen to it.
Okay, let's check it out.
I'm so horny.
I'll take it. It's time to get horny and stay horny, everybody out there. Hashtag get horny. Hashtag stay horny. Hashtag get horny, stay horny. News coming out of the MIT, which is the Massachusetts. Can't even say it. Massachusetts. The Massachusetts Institute of Technology. Those are smart people, okay? And they basically said, look, there's an AI that we have come up with, and it automatically swaps any photo you have into any porn video.
Okay,
is your brain going already to the horrible places or the good places?
It absolutely is. So let's say that I wanted to think about you and Spencer having an intimate moment together.
One click is all it takes.
And so they're basically putting, is it animation or is it putting your face over actors?
It's using a lot of that same, it's over the actors. So what would happen is,
this is just a Snapchat filter for porn.
Yeah. I mean, well, look, let's be honest. The porn industry has driven all of the developments and all of the technology in the entire internet space since the beginning of
the
internet.
There's a reason why VHS took off instead of beta.
Exactly. exactly. There's horrifying stuff that can happen here because you could literally take someone who's running for office, take any photo of them, run it through this algorithm, and then we've seen on the internet how dumb people are and what they'll believe in. We'll talk about that later in the show. Some of the stuff that they'll fall for.
Yeah.
But when they, you could put that out there in someone. But I have to say, while I understand the horrible moral implications of this, there's no part of me that doesn't want to go through Facebook, find a picture of your grandmother, CJ, and immediately load it into this thing. Because I want to send it to you where you have to see your grandmother.
Just getting plowed.
You're thinking of the plowing. I'm thinking of the wonderful, icing at the end of the cake.
Oh, God.
And your grandma. That's the woman.
Poor Mima.
That's the woman. The least wrinkled thing in your grandma's life is that $5 bill she sends you in a birthday card every year.
Yes. And now I got to witness her.
And now you got to witness the
sweet
next
face.
Step.
Oh, that's horrible. I was thinking more just of like if you're 20 years old and you got a crush on someone. But no, you're taking it to a more evil, malevolent. Goddamn.
Well, there could be some good things. And you're onto that right now because could it maybe actually suffice for some guy instead of him being being a creeper on your account won't leave you alone. We all have girlfriends in our life, and I don't mean girls that we've dated, but girls that are our friends.
Yes.
Who've shared with us a guy who just keeps writing over and over again. And every time he writes, don't mean to sound creepy. Hey, you didn't the first time. But the third time, the 10th time, the 25th time,
every
you said,
time
I'm
you
not creepy.
That.
Every time, guess what? Starting to sound little, hey, bro, a little bit creepy. Little bit creepy.
Sliding into the DMs never works. The only thing...
You gotta act like you've been there before.
So you're saying that there's a possibility with being able to exercise those demons.
I'm hoping.
I think...
Exercise those demons.
See, I think it starts out at that level, and then I think it makes it easier to step up to the next
that
level
might be,
of
that may
being
be.
Creepier, being more of a stalker, or something like that.
I don't know how the creeper's brain works because I'm perfect, CJ, in the love game.
This stuff scares the crap out of me because, you know, we have podcasts and things that have been out there forever, and they have the same with audio technology,
right?
To where you can deep fake audio,
right?
You can make it sound like someone said a computer will accurately and perfectly replicate your voice and make it sound like you said anything possible.
Well, I will tell you this. If you ever hear a deep fake of mine and the person gets through it without mispronouncing a word or stuttering,
you
that's
know it's a
fake.
Computer.
That is a computer.
Absolutely.
That is not me. I cannot speak.
Matt and CJ, 101X.
Big shout out to the University of Texas at Austin. Rankings are out. Top 10, baby! Woo!
Wait, top 10 in what specifically?
Well, something that doesn't really count. It's actually kind of disappointing, I'm going to be honest with you.
It's not the coach's poll or the AP poll?
No, the University of Texas was just ranked as the number 10 public school in the U.S. News and World Report study of all colleges and universities, but
not important at all.
Not important. Nobody cares about the academics and the education, so no. I don't think anyone's going to care about this ranking. It's the first time that UT has been back in the top 10 in that ranking for quite some time. I'd like to be excited for them, but I know that nobody cares about that. You
not
know?
At all. Yeah, run the ball better and have a better secondary. Then we care.
Hey, I don't really care what we're doing with the education and the grants, and is it attainable education at an affordable price? I need an 18-year-old child to pick up a ball and run it for me. I didn't live out my dreams. That boy needs to live out my dreams for me.
Very much so.
But this is good stuff for the university, for academics. For what? I ain't no communist. No, academics, sir. It's a never mind. Never mind. Yeah. Congratulations, by the way, to our friends over there. Yesterday, I was teasing you a little bit. You are also a graduate
of Texas.
That's right.
State.
I'm sorry, what?
I am a graduate of Texas.
Right. State. I'm sorry. I talked over you. I'm a graduate of UT, Texas, of course.
Well, yeah, I just call it Texas.
Right. And State. You were a graduate. I keep talking over. What's that last thing you're saying?
I went to Texas.
State. Anyway,
Eat 'em up, cats.
They made a mistake, I think, because I noticed that I went through the list. I went all the way through 100. I didn't see Texas State on there, and I apologize. But here's good news for Texas State.
Yeah.
Like, that's a little good news for my alma mater, right?
Okay. What's something for mine?
Do you think that I would come in here empty-handed and not bring something to you?
Yeah, we got to represent the Bobcats as well.
That's right. You got to represent Texas State. Texas State is a fine university for, I don't know, a lot of years. They've been doing this incredible thing, right? Where they, you know, every Friday and Saturday, they send their finest young ladies up I-35 to 6th Street.
Yes. After spending a week tanning on the river that runs through the middle of campus.
Exactly. Here's the deal. It just come out. Fireball is releasing kegs that hold 5 liters of Fireball.
Oh, God. That is dangerous. So Fireball was kind of the new thing. Our generation, my generation, had Jägermeister, I guess, but Fireball kegs is going to kill someone.
Yeah. Fireball really peaked, what, 10 years ago? But
yeah,
I still feel like there's a lot of people who still, like, sometimes it's nostalgia, remembering college or high school. I mean, nobody in high school would ever drink, but
of course not. It's
nostalgia.
Illegal.
And then there's still some people that occasionally, and even my delicious mother, who is 400 years old, will occasionally hear Pitbull's Fireball and go, can we drink some of that cinnamon stuff you kids drink?
Dolly, honey.
Anyway, it's a little tiny keg barrel. It's $75. and you'll be able to think of all of the bad decisions that you'll be able to make out of that barrel.
Oh, God. And of course, they just perfectly rebranded, what was it, Hot Damn?
Yeah.
Just turn that into Fireball, and now you're going to have university kids dying on the streets. This is dangerous.
Don't be negative. They're not going to be dying. They will be getting pregnant. There are going to be lots of Fireball kid pregnancies.
101X. Here's more Matt and CJ.
What is something really stupid that your partner spends money on? Matt, I've got one that absolutely just pissed me off, especially with trying to save money, trying to buy a house, all that. It's annoying the hell out of me, and I just need to know if I'm justified or not. You're married. I'm engaged.
I'm married.
Does your wife have like a dumb habit or something that she spends money on? Or
her boyfriends?
Just taking dudes out, man.
Yeah, I wish she'd spend a little less there. Yeah. Honestly, my wife's into plants, dude. I don't know when that happened, but I'm not talking about like, oh, my wife bought a plant. My wife, I had to budget her on plants. She's way into plants.
And that's not cheap either.
You think it would be. Yeah. Because how much I want a plant, I think in my mind, oh, a plant should be a dollar. Like a plant should be a dollar. But she comes home sometimes with a plant that's, I guess, collectible or something. I don't know. And the thing I've noticed is the more expensive a plant is, the more likely it will die soon.
Absolutely. I do that once a year where I'll go and buy like plants for the backyard and the front of the house, spend $100-something, try to take care of them, then they're dead. Dead.
Well, but you waste money too. You waste money on Legos, but Lisa's your fiance.
Yeah,
does she? True. I feel like she's the responsible one in the relationship.
No. Because we've been really making an effort to try to save money, to not go out as much. Trying to get married, buy a house.
Brutal.
And she sheepishly looked at me the other day and said, honey, don't be mad, but I bought something. And I was like, oh, what'd you buy? And she goes, I bought a Roomba. And I'm like, oh, cool, you've been talking about
masturbation
thing? I think so. It's a pleasure device for sure. She bought a Roomba, and I was like, oh, you wanted one? That's fine. No big deal. How much was it?
Robot that vacuums your floor.
Yes.
Does it even work, though?
It works pretty good, and I'll tell you why, because I was thinking,
and what are they, $150, $200?
Something like that. $600. $600 on a vacuum cleaner.
Dude, you got played.
Like that's an entire weekend vacation or doing something nice or saving up for a down payment on something that we could have just been less lazy and swept and vacuumed more ourselves.
Well, today's current rate of return, that's actually $1,200 in 7 years.
Yeah. So she has her new Roomba. She loves it. She named it Todd. It's got a little electronic input system, and I get updates from Todd and her every day.
Wait, she named it Todd?
She gave the damn Roomba a name, and I get this update from Todd the other day saying he's stuck.
Is it like a Bluetooth thing, so everything is attached to the web now, so it contacts you?
It contacts me, and it tells me it's stuck. And then about 20 minutes later, I get a message from Lisa saying that the Roomba went under the bed, got stuck on your katana.
On your sword.
On my sword, which I forgot I had a sword under the bed, and pulled it out from under the bed and was driving around the house with a sword.
Todd is
trying to kill me.
This is how Terminator started.
This is
the very beginning. You know, when you have a sword under the bed, it's hard to complain about your wife spending money irresponsibly.
Fair enough.
101X, Matt and CJ. Smoke weed every day.
That's right. Time for the 420 report, where we scour the internet for at least 30, maybe even 45 seconds and find what we think might be the most interesting story. To those of you out there who love the 420 culture, craze, lifestyle, coughing, wheezing. And, you know, this is, I immediately saw this and thought, well, this belongs in the 420 report, right? Absolutely. Jack in the Box is launching a new chicken sandwich. I guess the chicken sandwich wars continue. But this
2 years later.
Well, this one's important, and it's important because I think most people, the average person's not going to care. But if you're out there and you just... you just went out and told your boss, oh, my stomach hurts, I gotta go potty. And you went out to your truck and smoked, and now you're back in and you're listening to us. No, you're probably actually still in your truck listening to us right now. Have you ever wondered, first of all, before I even get to the chicken sandwich, you ever wondered if your boss wonders why your stomach hurts every day at the exact same time? I'm not talking about your
or
boss.
Why your allergies are always acting up when you come back from going to the potty?
Look at this thing, dude. It's a huge fried chicken breast. Said breast. And barbecue sauce, right? No big deal. We've seen that on a chicken sandwich before. Bacon.
Hell yeah.
Big old slice of cheese. Giant fat onion, fried onion rings.
I was going to ask about onion rings.
Yeah,
yes.
Of course you did, because you're not an idiot. You're a man who understands what fast food is all about.
I'm a connoisseur of the deliciousness that is Jack in the Box. There used to be one on the way home to my old house, and that was always the late night stop, which was the worst,
so good.
The stupidest thing to do, because then first thing in the morning, you wake up and you're like, you're just aching from heartburn, but at night when you get
home. It's a burn that's so good, though, dude.
Ooh.
So good. I thought you were going to say it's the dumbest thing you could do, because why aren't there, if the cops are going to have checkpoints, why aren't they just at the mouths of every drive-thru?
Whataburger, Jack in the Box.
We're all there doing the same thing, except I think that they know that if we sit in line for 45 minutes waiting for a couple of tacos, they know that we're at least sobering up a little bit.
At least not on the road.
Exactly. They realize that they're doing a great service by having the drive-thrus open for the rest of
us.
Oh, my God. I haven't done a good... My wife and I went to a wedding recently, and she was feeling pretty good. I had to be the D driver that night.
I bet you were when you got home.
That is my wife we're talking about.
Yeah, she's
and
hot.
She is a dirty whore, and I don't appreciate you talking about her that way, right? I don't mean that in a bad way. It's just, it's why I married her.
Yeah.
She's filthy, and it's fun. But she was like, I want to Taco Bell. Taco Bell. And the Taco Bell wasn't even on the right side. I was on the freeway, the elevated deck of 183. But I was
so it's like, how do I even whip around to get to that one? I know which taco seat you're talking about,
you know,
too.
The thing is, there's that weird thing that happens at weddings where you kind of fall in love with your partner all over again. At least you should.
It's magical.
Yeah, so I was like, I got you, girl. And I was like, man, we haven't done this in a while, where I basically put one foot down in the middle of the road and spun that car around 180 and got it right over there to the TC. But it was odd, because the next morning we woke up and I was like, what is on me? I'm covered in something. And she'd eaten and we'd gone to bed. And then apparently after I'd fallen asleep,
she got back up.
There was more left and she got it, but she decided to eat it in bed. And then it just was there. I had rolled over on wrapper in the middle of the night. It stuck to me. And I was like, this is a really good old school college kind of feel.
Yeah, it's almost like you're back at the university. I feel like, what is your go-to late night fast food place? Because we've got Whataburger, Jack in the Box, and Taco C as far as fast food that I know of that I would always go to. Or you have Las Consuelas.
Here's something I need help from, and I need help from the audience as well.
Okay.
Going forward in the show, now that we've got little kids, we've stopped the late night, really. And I'm out of late night dirty food. I'm out of the game. I need people to let me know. You can hit me up, Just Matt and CJ, and all the socials. I need a new place. I need to know. Where do I go for that late? I like that heartburn. I want to feel bad about myself the next morning.
So good. Just,
Hey, look, if you're going to feel some shame, feel all the shame.
Take
I don't want to feel
in.
Shame just from drinking. I want to feel shame from eating, drinking, all that.
Matt and CJ. 101X.
Why on earth would Nicki Minaj and testicles be trending? This is your viral load.
I can tell you exactly why.
Okay.
Were you on Twitter last night at all?
No, I was not.
Don't you love it when there's a huge viral outbreak of something that's not on you?
Not necessarily the words I would use in this climate.
When there is when a story goes viral on Twitter and you happen to be watching it happen live, where you're
amazing.
Like, oh, I'm part of it. I'm part of history.
That's when I pull up my Photoshop and start slapping down some memes before it gets old.
Oh, I am too lazy to do that. But last night, Minaj, she tweeted out, my cousin in Trinidad won't get the vaccine because his friend got it and became impotent. His testicles became swollen. His friend was weeks away from getting married, and now the girl called off the wedding. So just pray on it and make sure you're comfortable with your decision, not bullied. Everybody kind of jumped on her because...
You know what else causes impotence and swelling and that sort of thing?
Well, the vaccine's the only thing that does that.
Oh, not the clap?
not gonorrhea. Yeah. I like that this dude, like, you know that this guy told somebody, they're like, well, I thought you guys were getting married. Like, no, I think it was the vaccine. My testicles got weird. I got some blisters.
It burns when I go to the bathroom.
But he didn't know that literally one of the most famous people in the world, like, he was going to go black. I was like, hey, dude, the next time I talk to you, you should let me know if your cousin is, oh, I don't know, one of the most famous people in the world and most active people on Twitter, because she's got like 24 million followers. I didn't need you to blast my private information, because you know everybody, Trinidad's not a huge island.
No.
And everybody's down there just like, oh, dude, really?
Yeah,
that's what happened.
Everyone knows this dude's lying his ass off to try to save his relationship, because he got busted messing around and then just decided to blame it on this, and now he's been put on blast.
Another show I worked on, a caller called in once and said, "Hey, my boyfriend, there was no catching. I just noticed that my boyfriend is in a band, and he was going on tour, and when he was packing, I noticed that he packed like 24 condoms. But he said that he packed them because he worries about the other guys in the band. A lot of times they forget to bring protection, and he was looking out for them." And she called this show just to ask what our opinion was.
Oh, what a good friend. I'm glad she's dating that guy, because he's so nice and cares about
other
people.
You know how guys are. They're always just like, you know, I think I'll look after my bros. I'm just worried they're not wrapping it. So I'll bring some condoms. I don't need them for me, baby. Baby, why would I? I'm in a monogamous relationship with you. Why would I possibly need condoms?
Come on.
The lube is for my buddies, too, sweetie. The loops were this. That's not my bong. Officer, that's not my bong. I was bringing that bong to my friends. Water pipe.
I'm just holding it for him.
I'm holding it, officer.
When I was in college, I was dating a girl very early on in the relationship, but still I messed up. And one night she found a condom wrapper under my bed. And I was like, oh, yeah, my fraternity brother, Koontz, was his nickname. I was like, yeah, I let him stay the night in my room the other night and just completely lied my ass off with the dumbest thing. Like, why are you going to let a friend just stay the night in your room so he can hook up? And I just completely lied, said that. And then the next time we were all hanging out, she was like, so I heard you had fun in my boyfriend's bed. And he's like, what? And I kind of gave him that look. This is where he did the good bro thing. I probably turned white as a ghost, and I shot him a look, and he's like, ha, 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 yeah, and it smoothed itself out.
Did he?
Long story short, I'm definitely not with that woman anymore. She wised up really quick.
Well, eventually, everybody came for Nicki Minaj. I will say one of the funniest things was that, you know who Meghan McCain is?
Yeah.
She was on The View, one of those shows, John McCain's daughter. And she has big opinions, she has for a while, and she, I don't know, went off at... I think that Nicki Minaj is wrong to tweet this. That's my personal opinion. But I did like that, you know, she was getting heat from a lot of people. And you know how when you snap on Twitter because you're just pissed because everybody's ganging up on you? She just wrote to Meghan McCain, eat S. just plain simple, eat S.
Doesn't even care.
101X. Here's more Matt and CJ.
It is difficult for a lot of people out there. I think you're looking for a house, right? You're renting right now.
Yeah.
And you are looking... Should you actually be looking for a house right now?
I can't. I mean, I don't even have the finances to be able to afford to live in not just Austin, but I mean the Tri-County surrounding area, Jarrell, Buda,
Maynard. You want to know some good news?
Yeah, tell me.
A bunch of studies just came out of Florida.
Okay.
And by the way, I know that Austin likes to think of itself as the best. I apologize. We are not the best. We ranked number two. I said number two. In the most overvalued home market in the country.
Okay, that makes me feel real comfortable.
You should actually feel better, though.
Why? Because the bubble's going to pop?
The study says that the last thing you should be doing right now is buying a house.
Okay.
They said there's a bunch of researchers, and they said you should be renting. And if you have the money for a house, you should be investing. Not in a house.
Okay.
Or using it because for investment properties or something like that, like flipping or whatever, but you should not be purchasing a home right now. So I'm telling you that so you can feel better about yourself.
Yeah, that actually makes me feel a lot better. Instead of buying a house where I can live in and get married and raise a family,
I'm speaking with someone from a little bit of experience. Don't do that
Don't
at
do
all.
That.
Don't
okay.
do that at all.
Well, instead I'll just go into house flipping since that seems to be so easy and what everyone does. I work in radio. I have that kind of disposable income to where I can just buy rental properties.
You just have to watch two or three shows on HGTV, two or three episodes. And then you just go flip a house.
Pay a couple hundred dollars to attend a conference or two.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Buy some VHS tapes and then learn how to do it.
It's nuts. You used to be able to live. I know that sound. Austin used to be a lot cooler. Used to be a lot cooler before you got here.
Man, I saw Stevie Ray Vaughan play on top of a pallet fire when this place was called Waterloo.
I remember before, there used to be no Lake Travis. Stevie Ray Vaughan dug Lake Travis with the neck of his guitar.
You get a lot of that, and I feel like every 10 years you hear that same thing. And my generations was kind of like, oh, man, Luster Pearl used to be the only bar in a house on Rainy Street.
I don't want to sound like that dude. I'm going to. I'm getting ready to sound like that dude. But when I was young and starting in comedy, there was a little comedy club down on 6th Street where I first was like kind of developing, a little place called the Velveeta Room. Still there.
Still there.
It's called Vel Lounge now. But, you know, Rainy's where we partied, but very different parties than now. We had a friend who rented a house, I think for, it was $400 a month for the house on Rainy. And it was great because it was three blocks from 6th Street, essentially. And so, actually 6th Street to Cesar Chavez would be five blocks. Let's learn how to do math, man. And so when you were done, you know, you never wanted to be done with the evening. It's 2 o'clock, they're kicking out of the bars. You could walk down to their house and there was always, you know, some, I don't know, Miller High Lifes or something in the refrigerator.
Always people partying, always people hanging out.
Yeah, but it was, you know, there were atrocious houses everywhere. And you just, I remember a house I had with another buddy, and the rent was $250 a month. And there were four bedrooms, but we decided not to fill the other two bedrooms because I was like, oh, I can handle $250. And you would work the door one weekend a month down on 6th Street, and you'd make enough money for rent in that one weekend. And
the rest of it, you just partied with.
We were not motivated people. I want to say that one of the things now is that I think that Austin's a much more motivated city.
I mean, you're just talking about making me think of the movie Slackers. That was...
Yeah, well, yeah.
It seems very much that vibe.
Yeah.
A movie shot here in Austin.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure that everyone's seen that. It's a little distant now. It's 30 years old. But it was very much... it was just sort of getting by the skin of your teeth. I'm not saying... We weren't living high on the hog. Boy, could I have sounded any older? High on the hog? Who says that?
I don't know, dude.
I will just say that. I mean, I had a house that had rats in it. And I mean, lots and lots of rats. And there were broken windows in the house. And we kept calling the landlord. And they never got fixed. Also, our rent checks weren't being cashed for a long time. We found out that he'd been dead for 6 months.
No way.
Yeah. But we used to, in that house, we had an old Sega Dreamcast system. Do you remember the old Sega?
Yeah.
We got it off of eBay. And the only reason we got it, because one of the guys I lived with remembered that they used to have an old fishing game.
You had eBay back then, Grandpa?
Yeah, exactly. And we just decided on a whim, hey, let's get that old fishing game. And then we would open all the windows in the house, and we would put giant ice chests all over the floor, old wooden floors. And they'd be filled with beer. And we'd have people come over, and we would have fishing tournaments inside the house. And you have to know, but it was, you know, it was great. It was great living. But like I said, we were not getting anywhere with our lives. It was not a good way to say, like, hey, I need to put together a business plan. I need to understand my future, whatever. There are a lot of lost memories and all that.
It just seems so different and so much more fun. And again,
no, it's just different. It's not more fun. It's not more fun. It's just different.
Because you're thinking about the Austin I remember first visiting and coming to when I was, you know, in high school, because my dad used to live here back in like the 70s and stuff. But I remember it being, you know, the bartenders, the musicians, the comedians, whatever, worked downtown and lived downtown.
Correct.
And it was just this, like, actual kind of fun party. But now you're commuting.
I lived downtown because that was the cheap place to live.
It was.
That's why you lived downtown.
There were broken windows and rats. And now I could not sniff my way into one of those condos.
But, you know, there was only 7 or 8 bars for us to wander. That's an exaggeration. But there were 7 or 8 that we went to regularly or whatever. There's so much more to explore now. I sometimes get a little like, I don't understand that. Get off my lawn, everybody who's moving here. It was a lot cooler because there are more opportunities now. It's more expensive, absolutely. But there's a lot more stuff happening now. It's a better place to raise my kids than if I would just, in the old days, have just been like, hey, hey, shut up and eat your cracker before the rat gets it.
101X, Matt and CJ.
What's trending, Austin? Oh, looking around at the internets, the story. I first noticed it this weekend. It's been picking up some heat as well.
All over social media.
As the day goes on, it's not cool, bruh. It's not cool.
Totes.
Someone has kind of left a pretty crass sign outside of the Islamic Center of Greater Austin and the Austin Peace Academy. I know where this is. It's not far from my house. Austin Peace Academy is a kids' school, like elementary and little kids. They left a sign basically, you know, calling Muslims. I'm not going to read it. It's just it's not kind. It's, you know, it's a sign. Also, as someone who has a little bit of a design background, I hate to see Helvetica misused this way.
Very disrespectful.
At least learn how to clean up the kerning,
yes,
and the leading, please. And then they put like a bloody pig's head on a stick outside. It's I don't know. It's kind of a shame. It's been growing here in town. In 2017, the Islamic Center of Lake Travis was burned to the ground, and what was pretty much believed to be an arson attack. And then in September 2018. The North Austin Muslim Community Center was vandalized multiple times, tire slashing, stuff like that. So they're out there kind of looking for somebody. And whoever this is, uncool. I mean, I guess that sounds lame to just call it uncool. They are searching for a suspect, trying to find out whoever it is.
It is weird they printed a sign. Like, you usually see something just poorly misspelled and written out. But
on cardboard.
They printed a sign, so that means they're taking significant effort to go out and do this. And again, like you said, the kerning does not work at all. Like, consult a graphic designer before you go and do your hate crime.
Yeah, they say they're looking for a person of interest. It is a bloody pig's head mask, which tells me I don't think they should look for Latinos. Latinos know where to find an actual pig's head easily.
Oh, yeah, the carne asada.
They absolutely are not going to try to use a mask. They know where the good food is. So I think that, I don't know, they're going to end up finding some. Those are the kind of stories. You know, we're talking about Austin used to be cooler, man.
Yeah.
Maybe it's also just rose-colored glasses. I don't remember as much stuff like that happening back in the day.
No.
But it's kind of a bummer. It's kind of a bummer. I feel like it's a stain on our city.
It does. It feels so uncomfortable and awkward that Austin's becoming like this political hotbed of anger.
It's
yeah, I know.
A regular city.
It's just so crappy. And I see so much stuff on the internet, not just like this, but people are like, man, the libs and Mayor Adler made all the hobos move to Austin. I wish Austin would be just like it used to be. And I'm like, you mean what? Like, are you envisioning Austin as some Reaganomics, like, hub of conservatism and pride? Like, this is the city of Willie Nelson and smoking weed and slackers and chilling. Not, like, yeah. What, Austin, are you envisioning?
I do know that when people sometimes are a little upset, they're like, they, you know, we didn't used to have homeless. And I'm like, I bet you have one of those Leslie magnets on your refrigerator.
Yeah.
It's just like, what do you mean? So
even as a kid growing up in Amarillo, Texas, the joke was that we would bus our homeless to Austin.
Right,
because Austin was the homeless city.
Or whatever.
Yeah, it was Hippieville. It was where the homeless lived, and it's just so strange that there's this this narrative that Austin used to be some kind of like clean bastion. It's like, no.
Well, and I also think Austin has always been a little more laissez-faire than it has been necessarily leftist. I think it's a better way to think of it. It's just because, you know, when I meet folks who, especially like comics, who would come here from like the Northeast, where liberalism is very different style, and they would get here, and you'd be like, well, we're going to go get barbecue out in the country, and then I was going to take you to shoot guns. And they're like, what?
You guys shoot guns?
Yeah, I was like, yeah. I'm a country boy. What do you mean? And like, yeah. But we mean guns, like, guns will shoot at you. I was like, no, they're not. They're not going to do that. You're going to have a fun time. But it is, there is that bit of pride, and you know this because you grew up in the sticks, too. There's a little bit of a pride when you've got someone who's never really been out of New York. And I take it out to my family ranch, and we've got a little thing that launches clay pigeons, and you teach somebody how to hit it with a shotgun for the first time, and then that you see that sudden thing light up in them.
They're like, shooting guns is amazing!
And all of a sudden, you've turned them into this blood-red crazed right-winger where they're like, let's do it again!
Do it again!
Let's do it again!
Can I shoot some living now? Where are the hogs at?
I'm like, hey, man, chill out. Go back to Williamsburg. We need to chill you out a little bit, bro. You can't do it all at one time.
I like that you bring up laissez-faire. I can't speak my French here.
Said laissez.
Because there is that misconception that, like, Austin is like this lefty Democrat kind of, almost like you were explaining.
Well, that's certainly
like,
here, right?
It is more so, but it is different in, especially just in Texas, like being both of us growing up here, that it's not necessarily the stereotypical, what do they call us, the blue dot in the red ocean or some crap like that. It's a different city than anything else, and now it is kind of becoming a lot less cooler, man.
I don't want to go that far, but I will. Circling back to this, I hope that they get whoever this is. I hope always when I see something like this that it's less hatred and more just somebody who is just mentally ill and off the rocker. Though I guess isn't hatred just a? I mean, just now, do I sound like a hippie when I say isn't all hatred just a little bit of a mental illness anyway, bro?
I think it is, man, and I think our listeners understand, because if you're tuning in to Matt and CJ, you're definitely a little mentally ill.
Hey, let's go Planet K.
Matt and CJ, 101X.
Concert ticket time, Front Bottoms coming to Stubbs September 28th. Matt, you know when we've worked together on different radio shows and events and stuff that I can put together.
How many shows? I'm interrupting you for a reason, though. How many shows have we worked on together over the years? Is this the first time we've actually worked together?
Professionally, yes.
But we've been on 3 or 4 shows together over time?
I believe so.
Okay, done interrupting you. Okay,
that's
back.
Okay. But you know that I have a tendency.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I have another.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. It's just that you played that clip a little earlier ago where you screwed me up when I was trying to record something,
yes.
And I'm trying to get back at you right now.
Okay, thank you very much.
Go ahead.
Appreciate
it. Go ahead.
Real smooth radio here, folks. You know that I have a tendency.
Did you forget where you were trying to go?
Yes, I did. Thank you again.
It's okay. I sense that what happened right there is that you forgot what you were trying to say, and that felt kind of good for me. Go ahead with what you were going to do, your little stuff, your skit,
Anyhow,
your
win some tickets by just calling and telling Matt he's a fat piece of crap.
That's the contest? It's actually a pretty good contest. It could be good for my ego.
You know that I have a tendency to overcomplicate things.
Yes, you do.
Especially when it comes to like trivia or events. And yesterday you kind of said maximum effort.
Minimal
effort, maximum return.
No, reward.
Reward. And so today what we're going to do is play a little game that I like to call...
I've got something in my front pocket.
What's in my front pocket?
Why don't you reach on in my pocket?
Very simply, listeners just need to call in 512-835-1015. Guess what's in my front pocket? It's never a phone. It's never keys. It's never a wallet. What's in my front pocket?
This is a little bit... Yesterday was what's in my box?
What's in the box?
Oh, what's in my box is a very different game, isn't it?
Completely.
But what's... And then today's what's in my pocket?
Guess what's in my front pocket?
Okay.
So they just have to call in and guess what's in my front pocket. Your clues for today are Q, cotton, and wax. Again, it's never phone, it's never keys, it's never a wallet. What's in my front pocket, Matt? We'll play that game right after this.
101X. Here's more Matt and CJ.
We're going to do this around the same time every day. Give something away. Play one of my stupid games. Today's is called... What's in my front pocket? That was the wrong song there, Matt. I'm working on it. Tickets to the Front Bottoms could be yours if you can guess what's in my front pocket. Caller.
What do you think it is?
A lighter.
No, good guess, though. Caller, what do you think is in my front pocket?
I definitely think you have, like, a wrapper in your front pocket.
No.
Like, W-R-A-P-P-E-R?
No, but there is a wrapper that has the same name as what is in my front pocket. Caller, what is in my front pocket?
Give a little squeeze. It's a Q-tip.
Yes! Congratulations! Who's this?
This is David.
David, is this the dumbest game you've ever played or the best?
It's the best because minimal effort, maximum return, bro.
There you go, baby.
Perfect.
All right.
Look at that, Matt. 2 days in a row. First show for both of us together in 2 very successfully executed contest created by me. What do you think?
Minimal effort, maximum reward.
And can you see that there is literally a Q-tip in my front pocket?
I saw it when you pulled it out of your pocket.
This
it's kind of gross.
Not radio magic. This is actually real.
Yeah, well, why are you carrying a Q-tip? Okay, first of all, I just thought That's the recycling. You just threw the Q-tip in the recycling.
Why can't you recycle Q-tips?
What are we going to do? We're going to turn your earwax into
wax,
a...
gum it up?
Yeah, we're going to turn that into a candle or something?
Yeah, perhaps. I mean, that's what recycling's all about, man.
That was lazy. It'd be one thing if the recycling was somewhere other than the trash cans next to the recycling.
You know what, dude? I don't want to be a dick, which is Richard Nixon's name, but I'm going to tell you straight up, yesterday, I saw Matt throw a can, an aluminum can, miss the trash... missed the recycling and it landed in the trash, and you didn't take that out.
I did take it out.
I didn't see you take it out. I bet it's still in there. So if we're going to start tit for tat and fighting with each other over dumb stuff, do I have to do what I did with my ex-girlfriend and make a note
and get left? If you want to, I can walk out. Is that what you're asking?
You know what? Never mind.
Hey, I'm gonna go get in the car. Hey, give me the dog. I'll take the dog too.
Matt the Quitter.
101X. Matt and CJ.
Tell new Matt and CJ, do you post everything or do you only post the selects?
Selects.
Now, yeah. You say that. But do you think you kind of do? You're a bit of an overshare, mm-hmm. And I'm the opposite. Sometimes I won't post it.
You don't post at all.
Well, I'm supposed to for my living. I'm supposed to post, and sometimes I won't for 6 months. Maybe I'm too much of a perfectionist. Maybe that's my problem. You know, the internet's for sharing, right? Just for fun.
You're trying to make the grid look perfect. I think we're also. I grew up in the age of overshare on the internet, and you're a little before that.
I think that you're full of it right now. No, you're trying to age me, and the thing is it's not about that.
You didn't even have dial-up. You're so old.
I didn't. When I was born, there was no such thing as phones or food. Do you feel better now?
Yeah, or a wheel.
Okay. Hey, speaking of a wheel, is that a spare tire around your waist right now? I mean, you took me down the corner of, hey, we're going to go tit for tat, as you said. You're the one that said that earlier, and that's a grandma saying. So let me get back to the point.
Okay, buckaroo.
You did it again. There is a disease, and everyone, when you ask them, like, can you share too much? Everyone's like, oh, of course people can be oversharers. You know, so if it seems like everybody understands that we're not supposed to overshare. But it happens every single day, which means some of us don't get it.
Especially with so many of the live video features and the stories that go with social media.
We've been looking for a theme song for this new show.
Mm-hmm.
And I think...
A theme song, an intro, a name.
I think I have found the theme song for us. This is from some young lady. Should I give her credit?
Sure.
I don't know it. Can't find it. She's just a young lady who... apparently has a friend that has a camera. That's one of the dangers of the fact that we put really nice cameras on
everything.
Single phone is that now we all think that we should be able to shoot our own music videos.
We all think we're a star now.
And now here's the thing. I enjoy this stuff a lot. I love train wrecks.
Yes, Schadenfreuden.
Yeah. Give me a lawn chair and a beer. Let me put my feet up and watch some of this stuff. That's where my joy comes from in life. I love cringe. Mm-hmm. Love cringe. This is a nice little young Caucasian girl who has decided she's also a hip-hop star. And you know what that sound was? That's my fingers coming together like I'm an Italian chef.
Just made some ravioli, and it tastes so good.
If you like this and you think it should be our theme song, I will track down whoever her agent and manager are. I'll get in touch with the record producers and the company, and we'll sign the gobs and gobs of paperwork that will have to be signed to bring such a huge star onto the show.
For the all-new Matt and CJ theme song.
Yeah, hit it.
Shake that money maker in my face. It's a favor. Ooh, I love your misbehavior. Party till I die. With my chin up high. Boom.
Dude, that doesn't even sound like us. That's me trying to talk on the radio.
Is it?
That's just...
I feel like that's an effect, though, that the producer is supposed to do.
Maybe not with your actual voice. Heart attack.
Here's what I want. I want just the section where she goes party. The next time I want it as a sound effect on the sound effect board. And the next time one of us starts stuttering, I think that should be the official.
Just like that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Party. It's my last day on this earth. Let the dollar make a work, work. Shake that money.
I mean, it's such a good song.
Here we go. Ready? Here's my favorite part.
Party till I die. With my chin up high.
Please send me a video of that so I can watch it, because now that I hear it, I want to see it as well. And of course, we'll post it at the blog, 101x.com. But that's
hey, describe what she looks like to me without having seen it.
I'm imagining, what's her name? Bad Baby, Bad Barbie, Bad Bahabi.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's who I'm just picturing in my head. Dr. Phil girl. Did I get it?
I'm gonna show you.
Okay,
a picture.
Let me see.
I'm gonna show you a picture. You
no, nailed it. Okay, so imagine a Bad Baby, but a little more kind of Detroit white trash.
Yeah. Yeah.
Does that sound accurate?
Yeah, yeah, for sure. But, I mean, you're close enough. We all look alike.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, you nailed it. You absolutely nailed it. Anyway, I don't know who she is. I don't hate her. I love her. And I would absolutely get her on the show and interview her and find out about where her career is going.
I think it's entertaining. I think it's something we should focus on, are some of these weird wannabe viral stars and make their dreams big with a crappy show. You know, I was about to crap all over people on TikTok and on Instagram and Snapchat for trying to be famous and trying to do this, because my shaking my fist, old man yells at the cloud is like, that's dumb. You're not famous. You're not doing anything. But then I remember myself and every one of my friends who had a camcorder at 14 would go grab a skateboard of put a new VHS in and then try to recreate Jackass.
Yeah.
Put each other in a shopping car. But we all thought we were going to be the next big Jackass star. So it's absolutely no different than today.
Sometimes it absolutely hits, though.
Yeah, sometimes it does. Sometimes it's hilarious.
Ocean Spray guy.
Yeah.
Think about it. That's not supposed to work. That's a dude on a skateboard drinking some Ocean Spray with a
Stevie Nicks in the background.
It's not supposed to work, except it was a time when we'd all been locked up for a while in our houses, and it absolutely destroyed the internet because we fell in love with it.
People talk about like going viral and like there's a plan or a thing or something you can do. It's so much of just the perfect thing at the perfect moment.
Also, sometimes it feels like the more effort someone's putting into it, the harder it falls.
Oh, yeah.
For example, everything you've ever done.
Shut up, Matt. I was viral. You weren't.
Yeah.
In 2008, I went viral.
How did you go viral?
I was dancing at work and someone videotaped me and then uploaded it to YouTube. And then like in 2 weeks later, no, not 2 weeks later, 2 days later, Good Morning America on their way out to the commercial break was like, and this guy's just having a little too much fun at work. And then played my video of me dancing. And then it got 200,000 views on YouTube in a time when that was actually considered viral. So I'm famous. I've made the front page of Reddit multiple times. Matt Bearden Chronicle once. Why are you looking at me with disgust and silence?
I'm just trying to figure out who you are right now, man.
You know who I am. Viral star CJ Morgan, the captain.
Is that a cold sore?
Yes, pretty much.
Matt and CJ, 101X.
Nick from the Morning X doesn't get off his ass and get out very often, only for special causes. And today's Ham Day. And Ham, of course, is the Health Alliance for Austin Musicians. It's very important to keep our city's musicians healthy. And that's what Ham's all about. And he's going to be hanging out at the new Luster Pearl from 6 to 8. 21 and up can raise a pint of Carbach Love Street with 101X. As we're there raising money for the Health Alliance for Austin Musicians.
It's a great cause.
It's absolutely a great cause. So go say what's up to Nick and keep our Austin musicians healthy.
Speaking of health and healthy, Spenny, saddle what's up to the bar here for a second. This is Spencer, hey, our producer.
Hello.
And we appreciate the work you do. But are you okay? You look a little are you okay?
Well, I mean, I'm fine. I think I'm fine. It's just my phone is about to die. And I would like to have it for the ride home just in case something happens. So I'm just stuck here with my thoughts. And it's weird.
Is that why you're so depressed? You look so depressed, and it's because all you have is your own thoughts?
Just myself.
No electronic distraction to keep you from your brain worms eating you.
And I'm just what do I have to do next? What are the things?
There's a stand-up comic. I wish I could remember who it was. Who is it? Is it Andrew Murphy? A great stand-up comic who who has a joke about, I was meditating the other day. Well, I went to the bathroom, but I forgot my phone in the other room. And it's just like such a perfect way to put it.
It makes sense.
When you leave the home now, when you leave home now without your phone, do you immediately turn back around and go and get it? Or do you just live out there in the world without your phone?
I go back and get it. I notice because I usually listen to music or a podcast on the way to work or
way
where
to support
I'm
radio.
I mean, I listen to 101X.
Support radio, man. I really appreciate it. I appreciate what you do for me
wherever I go. So I'll notice when I leave it. But my phone's also my wallet because I've got like all my cards, my license, right, and stuff right. like that. But there have been moments where I've made it up to the station. I don't have my phone. I'm like, well, what if someone needs to call me because there's the same thing. And like, if there's an emergency and right, someone can't get a hold of me, and it's like, there's not crap I can do anyways. And it actually becomes kind of a relief. And you both know me that I got a bit of a temper and I get a little throwy and hitty. And over the years, I've destroyed just about every iPhone I have by throwing it through at a wall, punching it, smashing it on the gear shift of my sure. car. And I will say the moments where you don't have a working phone and you don't have that, once you get used to it after a day or two, it is absolutely amazing and freeing.
Apple just dropped the deets on the new iPhone.
Yeah.
I think they suckered me in. I haven't got one in like three or four iterations. I think they suckered me in. I have no reason. The one I have works fine, but I just want a new toy.
It's nice to have new cameras.
Once in a while, I will just leave the house on purpose. I try to do a full week. No phone. Everywhere I went, just no phone. I'm not going to take a phone with me. And it's miserable. Plus, you feel like everyone that you see knows you don't have there's like a weird shame like where you order, I'm going to have a cheeseburger, fries, and then the person looks at you and you're like, they know I don't have my phone.
They know.
They know that I'm a lame ass and I don't have a phone with me right now. But also, I've gotten so, it sucks if somebody's like, what's that song playing? And you're like, I don't know. I guess I'll never know. I don't know what to do with myself.
Even thinking about this, let's say after the show, we're going to eat at Amaya's. I know that I loop around on Runberg, I get on I-35, I exit 290, I go across the light, and there's Amaya's. But still, I type in Amaya's on my map, I plug it into my dashboard, and
even though you know where you're going?
I mean, I'm being a little dramatic, but
yeah, you are.
Even when traveling, when I pretty much know exit here, go here, go here, go here, I still plug it into the map.
Do you feel like do you feel like your phone's going to go, good boy, good boy? Look who got all the way
by. I've comforted you and taught you how to get places.
It is an odd feeling to sometimes when I leave the house, I'm like, oh no, my phone. And it's that moment of like, do I persevere? You know, like my parents' parents would have. What would they have done in this situation? The idea. I guess, you know, my parents' parents wouldn't have wanted to leave the house without a gun.
Yeah, or, I mean, back to the phone thing, my mom was always adamant about, when I was younger, keeping 25 cents on me in case I needed to use a payphone to call her because, you know, I'd...
I just
run roughshod all over the neighborhood and wanted to make sure I had phone money.
I just said my parents' parents because in my mind I assumed it was just Conestoga wagons or something. And I did the math,
Just gangster.
No, I was just like, oh, that's the 1930s. I doubt that they were just carrying guns everywhere.
Yeah,
with
the beard and see, holding up a.
Somehow
red
in
truck.
My head, though, I decided that my parents' parents must have been born in the 1500s.
Well, they would have carried swords and muskets, a little different than Matt.
Oh, just like your Roomba did earlier today.
Yes, that's very true. And that was one of the many things we talked about, including paying our respects to Norm MacDonald. Every story, everything we do, and the podcast, thank you, Spenny, will be available after the show at 101x.com. Day two. I think we did okay. I'll give us 2 stars.
Huge pitch for you to come in tomorrow. A huge pitch coming tomorrow for you, okay?
Okay.
Matt and CJ. Afternoons, 3 to 6, 101X.